David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. You have done well to connect to the study of the life of David. We continue as we move on to chapter number 5 of our study. Just to recap on last week, we were on chapter 4, lesson 3, and we looked at Saul as he perishes in battle. What a sad ending to the life of King Saul. After having been anointed the first king of Israel, he dies in battle, and he was fleeing from the Philistines. His three sons are also killed on the same day, including Jonathan. It's a sad day in Israel, and the Philistines celebrate over that victory. David, we see his amazing heart, because when he hears the news of the death of Saul, he does not celebrate. Even though Saul was a man that was seeking to kill him, he is pained and he laments for Saul, and the whole day he fasts together with his men. And it is David who then laments and says, "How the mighty have fallen, but tell it not in Gath, publish it not in Ekron, the cities of the Philistines." This is the heart of David. He was not bitter. He did not take personal anger against Saul, but he understood that God works all things for the good. So we saw what a heart that David had. That's why God chose him. And he said, "I found a man after my own heart." Now we want to move on to chapter 5 of our study, David reigning from Hebron. We're going to look at lesson 1, David anointed king over Judah. Now get your notebook, get your Bible, let's get into the word. I'll do an overview in 3 sections, then we'll look at 5 lessons that we draw from 2 Samuel chapter 2. Now section A, 2 Samuel 2 verse 1 to 7, we see there David, after the death of Saul, inquires from the Lord. David was always a man who always inquired from God before making key decisions. He asked God, "Should I go down to the cities of Judah?" And God says to him he can go, and he takes his wives and his children and the men that were with him, and they go to Hebron. Verse number 4 says, "And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul." So when David gets to Hebron, the men of Judah, these were should have been the elders, they come and they anoint David king over the house of Israel. He did not go asking to be anointed, but when he comes, because God had led him to go there, they come out and they anoint him king. And then he is told of the men of Jabesh Gilead who were responsible for burying Saul. Verse 5 says, "And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that you have shown kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and you have buried him." So he honors the men that were valiant and mighty men of Jabesh Gilead, who went and took the bodies of Saul and Jonathan from the Philistine temples and went and buried them. And he says, "You have done well, and may the Lord show you kindness." So that was the heart of David. So David begins to reign as king over Judah from Hebron. Section B, 2 Samuel 2, 8 to 11. We see there Saul's army commander, Abner, who was the army commander for Saul, takes Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, and he takes him and he makes him king over Israel. Now, you know that God had said that David was to be king, but here we see Abner taking the son of Saul and he makes him king over Israel, while David has been anointed king over Judah. Verse 9 says, "And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel." Verse 10, Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. He reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. Section C, we then move on to verse 12 up to verse 32. Abner then, with his troops, meets with Joab. Abner is the commander of the army of Israel. Joab commands the armies of David or of Judah. and they meet at the pool by Gibeon. And while they were there for entertainment, Abner says, "Can we choose some young men to fight in front of us, just to entertain them?" So these young men were chosen, and they begin to fight. But they then kill each other in the battle or in the fight, and this tears up a battle between the men of with Abner and the men that were with Joab, and they begin to battle. That men began to perish. But what happens there is the men of Israel, of led by Abner, were beaten and defeated, and they begin to flee back to Israel. And Joab and his brothers and the men of Judah begin to pursue them. The young men, one of the young brothers of Joab, pursues after Abner. Abner tries to tell him to stop pursuing, but he continues to pursue. Then he is killed by Abner. This is the young man called Asahel. And Asahel dies at the hands of Abner. Verse 17 says, "And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And Joab returned." All right, so that's verse 17. So a great battle arose, and Abner was beaten, and they began to flee. And in their fleeing, now they were chased down, but Asahel is killed by Abner as he pursues him. Now, at the end of this battle, lives were lost. Verse 30 says, "And Joab returned from following Abner, and when they had gathered all the people, they legged of David's servants 19 men and Asahel." So that's 20 that had perished from Judah. Verse 31 says, "But the servants of David had smitten Benjamin and Abner's men, so that 300 and 80 men died." So that's 360 had died from the army of Israel. Verse 32 says, "And they took Asahel and buried him in a shelter of his father." That's the grave of his father, and which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. So there are lessons that we draw from these scriptures that we have been reading. And these lessons are key, and they can empower us in our journey of the Christian faith. Lesson number one, always inquire from God before taking major decisions. This is one of the key lessons that we learn from the life of David as we study. Now here, Saul is dead. Before he moves to Hebron, to the cities of Judah, he doesn't just move there, but he inquires of the Lord and says, "God, should I go back to the cities of Judah?" It was almost like it's obvious, but it wasn't obvious. He had to wait on God to say, "Now is the right time." And God said to him, "Yes, you can go." Now, it's important in life that when you make key decisions, especially decisions like relocating to another city, moving to another place, you need to hear the voice of God. You need to be directed by God. Don't be like the husband of Naomi, who left Bethlehem to go to Moab, but he left without hearing God, and it caused him to die, his sons to die, and they left widows. Why? Because they moved without hearing God. May you be one that hears God before you take key decisions in your life. Number two, in due season, God will send people to align you with your destiny. Now you see that David had been in the wilderness, fleeing for his life. And when he first gathered at the cave of Adullam, the Bible says those that were discontented, those that were in debt, those that were discouraged, were those that gathered to him. These were losers and men who were in trouble that gathered towards him. But when it comes to Hebron now, we see the caliber of men that come. And these were mighty men. These were elders. And they come there to align him with his destiny, because these are the people who anoint him to make him king. So it's important that you understand that in due season, do not worry that sometimes the people that you are attracting might not be the best. While you are looking for those that are mighty, those that will empower you, but sometimes you start with those that are down, those that are bruised in the wilderness. But there comes a time when God brings you to Hebron, and he will bring men and women that will align you with your destiny, that will set you up for you to get into the path of realizing your destiny. Hallelujah. So don't give up. Stay on track. In due season, God will bring you to your Hebron. Number three, The anointing at Hebron was a probation anointing. David was called to be king over Israel. We remember when he was anointed in Bethlehem, and that was an anointing of preparation, preparing him for what was to come. But the anointing now at Hebron was an anointing for probation, because he was to be king over Judah for 7.5 years. So it was a temporary period where God was positioning him for what was to come. You must understand that there is a time that God will allow you to be in a certain place before you realize your ultimate destiny. For Joseph, it was the house of Potiphar where he was made in charge of the whole house, but that was not his destiny. It was just a probation period. So there is an anointing that will cause you to excel in your probation. You might be in an area where you have not achieved that which God has given you as a vision. You are in a probation period, but you need the anointing of God to empower you, because it is that anointing that will take you to the next level of your destiny. If you're there, shout amen. Now, that's a key anointing at Hebron. May you arrive at your Hebron and receive the anointing at Hebron. Lesson number 4, there will be delays on your journey to your destiny. Now here, when the army commander of Saul's army, Abner, hears that Saul is dead, instead of then saying, let us obey the voice of God that said David will be king, instead he takes the son of Saul and he makes him king unilaterally. It was almost a military coup, because he was a military commander and he's the one who sets things in place. It was not the elders of Israel, but the army commander declares the son of Saul a king. And this delayed the journey of David to come to the throne of Israel for another 7 years. I want you to understand that there are delays that will come in life. There are delays to your breakthrough. There are delays to your destiny. There are delays to your vision. But never give up. David understood that in due season, there might be these delays. He did not become bitter. He did not raise an army to go and fight against the son of Saul, Ishbosheth. No, he knew that in due season, God will make a way for him. So there will be delays in life. There will be delays to get married, delays to get your job. But I want you to stay in faith, because in due season, God will make a way for you. Despite the delays in your destiny, you will come through in the end with a testimony. So it's important that you understand that on the journey of faith, on the journey of destiny, there will be delays in realizing that which God has called you unto. But you need to hold on to your faith. You need to hold on to your hope, because in due season, God will manifest his word towards your life, in Jesus' name. The last lesson, lesson number 5, small conflicts can lead to unnecessary battles and losses. We see here Abner and Joab creating conflict that was unnecessary. They tell the young men to fight and they end up killing each other, and it starts a battle that causes 360 men plus 2380 to lose their lives because of men who had egos and their pride, and they cause young men to fight and get into a conflict unnecessarily. Wisdom says you must resolve conflicts as soon as possible, because conflicts that are not dealt with will cause a lot of battles and cause a lot of loss of lives and resources. So it's very important that you be wise and avoid unnecessary conflicts. Avoid even small conflicts that will trigger unnecessary battles. It takes wisdom. But these men were not wise. They start something that leads to a battle, and it ends even in the death of Joab's young brother because of this small conflict that was of their own making. Don't be one that is eager to create conflicts where there is not supposed to be conflict. You must be a peacemaker. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So it is important. Conflict might arise, but be one that resolves conflicts, not one who starts conflicts, because when that small fire is not taken care of, that fire can burn a whole forest. So this little conflict between Joab and Abner, because of their young men, ended up in a battle. And that battle raged on for 2 years because of an unnecessary conflict that was started by two army commanders. So we need wisdom in the way we relate with people, with those around us in ministry, at work, wherever we find ourselves. We need wisdom to relate with people and to handle interpersonal relationships in the name of Jesus. What a blessing. Our lesson ends here today, as we had looked at chapter number 5, lesson number 1. I believe that you have received wisdom and you have been empowered by the word. We continue next week as we look at lesson 2 and continue chapter 5 as David is reigning from Hebron, and it will be a blessing unto you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.